any reason to think that fancy modern cosmological constants in spatial acceleration have been addressed. So that's one. I think this is exactly similar and so on. Second is that I'm admitting that there is in fact a signal on the variation of alpha and mu. And as you've learned yesterday from the lighting discussion, that's not something established yet. So I think that's something exotic, more exotic. And third, I'm going to assume that these two things are connected. So that there's a coupling between scalar field and electromagnetic field, and that's responsible for the variation of these fundamental parameters. So, you see.
Well, this is not correct.
Multiple.
If the two are right, you don't have many other possibilities. If the two are correct,
they have to be coupled.
They have to be
to run fast.
So this is what I've done with several people a few years ago, but this year Paul Molaro is I think proposed to express or he asked us to redo the analysis with some more realistic data. And I'll go into this. So then I'll see the action, we've seen this a few times already. So there's a scalar field, dust, and the coupling between the field and the electromagnetic field, even by a gauge kinetic function. And for now, I'm going to assume that it's a linear function. And that's what gives the variation in alpha, in this case. Okay, so there's a linear dependence of alpha over alpha on phi, given by a coupling. And the other parameter I'm going to talk about mu, and from gauge modification, we expect these quantities, alpha and mu, to be related. And we've seen this before. So delta mu over mu would be written in terms of delta alpha over alpha like this. And depending on the model, from gauge modification, we think there's a relation between lambda QCD and alpha, the vacuum excitation value of the Higgs and the Gauss couplings, and the relation between V and the Gauss couplings. It's also model dependent, and under some simple assumptions, we have this A to be 36, we've seen this number before, and for some particular model, S to be as large as 160. And I'm using here a Newton model, which means would relate delta alpha over alpha with the variation of the Gauss couplings. And so we have delta mu from mu being minus 20 delta alpha over alpha. So Dean was saying in his talk that this was actually 36 or around that. But it's because sometimes people forget that there is this contribution as well. We've heard from Victor yesterday that there's this maybe a 20% contribution from the strange form of the mass of the protein.
This is kind of assuming that all variations come from some fundamental like gut scale.
Exactly.
Which doesn't have to be the case. But you could still have unification, right? But all couplings evolving separate. That's still a possibility.
I suppose. I didn't see
how you put couplings. What is H? You call couplings.
Here I'm assuming that delta H over H is the same for all particles.
Why?
It's a simplification.
Why it should be related to vacuum energy? I believe it's vacuum energy. The Higgs field.
Yes. It has models where the vacuum expectation about the Higgs depends exponentially on the Yukawa coupling in the top part. That's where it comes from.
Additional assumption that the breaking of SP2 plus 1 occurs. Due to some radiant mechanism, like in superstage.
But should Higgs mass vary, for instance, a lot? If it should vary, should Z change?
Well, the Higgs mass itself will have very little effect on the phenomenology. The Higgs changes are very
small. Yeah, but it should change V. You have variation of the Higgs mass, of the Higgs self-interaction.
So
that will change V, so
Well, in this framework, it's all built together, right? I mean, so there is some assumption about the dimensional transmutation of this gut scale into the electroweak scale, as it happens in supersymmetry.
So, but the point of this slide is what exactly this is that this number is highly model dependent, right? And I want to contrast it with the observationally indicated value. If we take at face value the numbers given by the analysis and then W from U, apparently it's much smaller than this. It's going to be -6. And you might want to compare these two numbers, but again, this number is very highly, it's highly model dependent, and this one is not established at all. So any concordance on any disagreement you might see between these two numbers is pure coincidence.
So you can write like in American fiction.
Exactly. But it's just a motivation of why you're doing this. Now, so we have these data points on the variation of alpha, and first question you can think of is, do the models of quintessence that have been suggested in the literature actually fit this data? This has been done by many people, me included, and it's true that for some models in some region of parameter space, you can pass a line through to this part. I think the most interesting question is, look at the data and extract directly what is the potential. This evolution.
So AS is published.
Exactly. I saw him.
Scotus is in this building.
Yes. So this question was addressed many years ago by Parkinson, Bassett, and Barrow. And what they assume is that A is symmetric. It gives, of course, the form of the Gaussian kinetic function dependence of the equation of state of dark energy with redshift. And these functions have parameters, and they use quasar data and supernova data to fit those parameters. More specifically, this is the Gaussian kinetic function they used, and the parameterization for the equation of state of dark energy. But there are all these parameters here. And this is the likelihoods defined for these parameters. So this is something, this analysis, it's valid, I think, but I think it might be more interesting to have less assumptions here. So, and what I'm going to do is to drop pieces. I'm going to drop this assumption. I want to reconstruct this instead of fitting it. That's what I'm going to describe now. So the idea is, we have the theory that gives us the Gaussian kinetic function, and I've assumed it is linear. And then we have the quasar data, okay, gives us delta alpha alpha and delta mu, and use these two, combine these two to obtain the equation of state of dark energy. And then only after that, use the supernova data to compare the reconstruction using supernova data with this one. And we want to obtain offside peaks. Okay, so the red line here is the true equation state that I use in the simulations, or that eventually that possibly exists if dark energy exists. And we want to reconstruct it from the data, so obtain this best fit line with some error bands. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. And the first thing, before that, so I'll just put down the equation that we are using here. So the energy density field does the equation of motion for the universe and the continuity equation for the field. And you know that the equation of state can be written in terms of the kinetic energy of the field or the potential. And the trick here we use is we just rewrite the continuity equation in terms of sigma, which is just a rescale of the energy density of the field with respect to the present abundance of matter. And you write the equation like this. So if we know what is the kinetic energy of the field, then you can solve this differential equation and then use it in here to obtain the equation of state. Okay? This is the kinetic energy which we have used. So the problem is obtain this quantity here, really, which we're going to have from the delta of alpha. One other thing that I want to show is that there's an infinite number of consistency equations that relate the nth derivative of the equation of state with the nth plus one derivative of the field. And this is something that I want to I'll go back to. Right, so first step is to obtain the data. The data currently is not good enough to do the appropriate construction. So we simulate. We simulate data with the expectations of the upcoming spectrographs and telescopes, and VLT and DLT, and I'm going to have to give it in a second. So, but I did simulate the observation data by generating data points based on the numerical definition of quintessence fields. So I assumed some model of quintessence, and I evolved the equation, so I think it should be phi, and then I generate the data around that mean value of delta alpha graph, which will be given by me. Okay. And the coupling that I use is such that we have these values of delta alpha graph at 33 and something mean, so r equals minus 6 that I showed you before. I hope there are no questions here. So this is, in principle, how the data would look like in the expression for the next lecture Michael was telling us about yesterday. So I'm not an expert on this. I got these values from talking to some people. But if there are experts in the room that have a better idea of what the data will look like in the future, then I'm really pleased to hear them about it. So from Espresso, I expect 200 objects in alpha, 15 in mu, with an error bar 5 × 10⁻⁷. Of course, 500 objects in alpha, 100 objects in mu, with an error bar coming down to 10⁻⁷.
And perfect agreement with no scatter.
Yes, that's a simplification. I'm aware.
But if you really emulate this Gaussian distribution, I think you should have some sort of. No, that was a problem.
The
guy who really simulated some data and published Nature, and his data were too good. He published them as experimental data.
What comment of Palomar was, he said, well, it's okay if you use the same error bars for all redshifts. We actually expect that, especially in mu, the error bars to decrease with redshift.
Yeah, but if I look in the upper picture, it looks like nearly all data agree with the sigma with a line. I hardly see 3 sigma points, or 2 sigma points.
I don't think this matters for this purpose.
But it doesn't matter for the, it's a model and he's trying to fit something in.
Yeah, but Gaussian distribution assumes that it should be 30% of data should not touch the green line and should have a separation by 2 seconds.
It was done, but it was explained. There are here.
There are here.
We
should really go into the random generator.
All the points in the there.
Did you just use the standard random generator or did you use like a proper random generator? I mean, really, these.
No, standard one.
It's joking. It's joking.
Okay, maybe real data to pay.
Right, so another point is currently they expect data on mu only redshift above 0.5. But we've heard this talk step and there's point data points and redshift 0.68, so maybe you can fill that up somehow. Right, second step is to feed this data, and I've chosen the polynomial. Eventually, it's the data that is going to dictate what kind of function should we use. But for these demonstrations, I use a polynomial, or n is the logarithm of scale factor. We've seen that I'm using a Gaussian function that's linear. So the kinetic energy is given in terms of this polynomial, the derivative of the polynomial divided by the product. Okay, so now we can put this inside the equation of motion and then extract W. That's what I'm doing here. The only thing that is missing is what is this coupling. Right? So this is the weak point of this reconstruction. I need to use independent data, like supernova, to fit this parameter. And once, okay, let me explain this.
What was sigma?
Sigma was rho phi divided by rho lambda phi.
You get lift us.
So let's say that supernova data I construct W in friendships and gives me something like this. Alright? And what I want to do here is okay, let's just supernova people and say this is indeed the equation of state at redshift 0. And then I'll do my own reconstruction, only depending on the delta over alpha that you will give me. And you'll give me something like this. Say, with some error bar. And I want to compare this. See how well they fit. It could be that you give me something like this. And you say, well, they don't do very well. So maybe there is no conflict between dark energy and the electromagnetic field at all. So that is the point. So, but to do this, fit this. Fix this point, I'm just saying that zeta has to be this quantity. Okay. This value is obtained from CMB supernova. We estimate zeta, and for typical values, omega phi is 0.7, W is close to minus 1, G 10 to minus 5, say, then it's sufficiently small to last take one space for tests.
Why do you choose to match a W now? I mean, will it be very...
Could be somewhere else. I just...
Okay, an average relation.
Average? No, not average.
No, it would be better to match in such a way that some...
An average, but...
Some integral minimized, I don't know.
Yeah, I could do that. Because it has to be the same everywhere anyway. So... That's a possibility, but that's a possibility. It's valid. I just thought it would be nicer to fix it in one point and then compare the constructions, see how viable they are. Because what you're suggesting is you're already forcing them to give the same answer.
Yeah, that's true, but like, because the value W naught also depends on the priors or the functions that you're choosing to fit to the data. No? So it is a.
True. I mean, supernova data has an error band here as well. So you can actually fix it to some slightly different point. That's an issue. So here I'm showing you reconstruction examples. So up here with the espresso, here with codex, and. For a particular model of contestants. And here I'm showing the reconstruction using only alpha, and here using a combination of alpha and mu. So here I have the same number of parameters plus one. These are that relate alpha and mu. And you see that even these values that I chose for delta alpha over alpha and delta mu over here and redshift 3. And combining the two gives a small error band, which seems quite nice. And this is reconstruction using codex being very, very accurate for this model. Another example, just choosing reconstruction with a model that has an equation of state that decreases with redshift. So you could see these under this reconstruction, but you will not be able to see these with the reconstruction of Parkinson, Bassett, and Barrow. And this is how the parameter R would be determined using espresso and codex. And actually, this field is much smaller than this one here. So the determination of R would be much, much, much smaller than that. We just align here. So these are the good news. It seems that with these error bars, from espresso and codex, you could obtain a very accurate reconstruction on some contestants models. The problem is, as we learned yesterday, that there are even tighter bounds on alpha over alpha, or alpha, dot over alpha. today. And models that I've shown you before, they don't satisfy these bounds. So, and I, the only way I can think of models of contesting is to satisfy this bound present is that the field is rolling down potential and it's getting closer to a minimum, maybe even performing an oscillation or two. That's only the way I can see. So you see it's very, very small video and then increases at higher redshifts. But if this is the case, then...
So is it really the case in this model here? Have you adjusted this model because of the Rosenberg et al. Constraint, or is this the original model, the green line?
The green line is the original model.
Right. But is it really the case that that green line at really, you know, 0.0000001 in redshift is really going to fail the Rosenberg et al. Constraint?
Yeah.
Because this is a redshift plot, and it's a large variation on the scale, but we're talking about a constraint that's happened over a 2-year measurement or so. So 2 years on this horizontal axis is so small. But it curls over at the top. I'm just wondering, because it curls, the green line curls over towards zero.
Yes.
So it's
very flat.
Is the slope there so... I would have thought that was almost arbitrarily flat. But it's not within the model, that's what you're saying.
No, it's not exactly.
It's not arbitrarily flat.
The supernological metal constraint.
It
is, because the pitching thing
is but it is flat. If you take a delta function at the beginning, for 2 years, it's nothing from the scale.
It's derivative flat line at that point. So you're going to be zero at that point?
Mm-hmm. But because there are solutions here, no. Since, to be honest, there is something... It's very tiny solution here, that's why it's done.
So what is the derivative at zero? Do you have a number? Like, how much does it violate this constraint?
I think it's 1.2. So it's within that... uncertainty, but it's basically that value.
But it doesn't violate the constraint. You said
it's
very natural that this constraint would match because 10 to the minus, okay, the lifetime of the universe is 10 to the 10 years, right? And the fiducial sort of number of interest is 10 to the minus 5 at the lifetime of the universe. So you combine the two, you get something like 10 to the minus 16 inverse years.
Sure, but then that doesn't tell me about how much that is curved over, how much it curls towards being flat at the zero part of that graph.
Well, you're saying that what are the non-linearities of
yes,
right?
So
the difference on oscillation, what is the time scale?
I mean,
if there's oscillation, then you can just fix it right. Well, you know, we're at the peak.
We're at the peak.
The oscillation. It's a tiny little oscillation.
There shouldn't be any oscillations. Yeah, but what is tiny? I mean, we're talking here about.
And it's
a few years. Just talking. The Rosenbaum data is what's it?
You already know what it is?
It's 1 year.
1 year?
It's just always.
It's
longer.
It's
longer.
What is the
longer?
It's longer. It's longer. It's longer. It's
longer. It's many years.
It's many years.
Hundreds of millions of years. Can I just make a point about this graph in redshift? That the relationship between redshift and look back time is finally nonlinear. So if you get something that appears to curl over and decelerate as a function of redshift near zero, it might actually be relatively linear in time.
Yes.
The function is logarithm one of one plus that.
Sure, but it still curls over in space.
So are you saying that this is consistent or not consistent? It is consistent with the bound up here. So
that's
it is.
I'm confused.
This is
no G.
The previous one or not.
Okay.
The previous ones were like these. Okay. So that's a fine-tuned model here.
So can I ask you something that just, let me take a potential that is a linear function of phi, nothing else, right?
Yes.
The simplest potential one could think of. And is this model, I mean, excluded? If I say take Murphy et al., Tepler minus phi, and is this this bound, is this model excluded?
I think so, because the anti-management doesn't go to zero once you reach a constant. So you mean it's worth doing it because people who played with essence like
Big Bond analysis, they put explicit bounds on the. So it's a two parameter model with dark energy and the slope of dark energy, nothing else.
But you can always make a coupling to alpha as well.
Right, but there are now two points. There is a constraint on alpha dot here, now, and say it's a, let's assume that there is indeed an indication of non zero dot alpha over alpha early times. It's worth, you know, investigating whether the absolute minimal model is killed or not killed.
Can we see that the so-called Taui models of compressors are excluded? So you cannot have this behavior.
I bring you back, please. My impression that models. I'm going back to this. So for a model like this, reconstruction looks pretty messy. But I've been thinking about this. I was thinking about this in the point. Why did I have these large error bands? And I see this only due to the fact that I fixed the normalization at redshift zero. Because W is redshift. So in this case, W is very, very close to minus one. Okay, so I fix the normalization here, and I have a possible reconstruction which is like this, depending on the parameters of the fit. So there's an uncertainty on the parameters of the fit of the alpha graph. So it could be that there's a reconstruction that hits minus one, and then it goes up to very large values of the equation state. So the error band, we include all of these. So I think what the problem here is that I should have fixed the number of the redshift here, and then I would obtain something like this, and here, like this, and could hit minus one, and the error band would be so large for this next model. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So the integration you're doing is basically unstable at the start point.
For the models when they have oscillations.
Yeah.
So you have to be more careful with the oscillations. But you see them, right? Maybe not. Maybe you could see oscillations in the data. If they are there, then that's an indication that the field is oscillating. If it's not there, then you have to be careful. But anyway, supernova data gives you a W today that is very, very close to 1 and 1. And you don't want to use that value. You want to fix normalization at a larger value of W. That's all I'm saying here. So I'm saying don't judge this plot. Don't trust this plot. You have to do reconstruction slightly different. Normalization has different structures. Right, so going back to your question. So it seems that models from which the field varies quickly. So models of quintessence without oscillations are ruled out given the constraints. Constraints at the present value, and if you want to fit the calculation, then it's not gonna happen. You cannot have both. So you have oscillations, or you have a different epigenetic function. Right. It actually forces you to have a flat independence and redshift near zero. So this mapping resulted in the limited analysis with the generalization of the function, and they assume that they assume this potential. And they say the results are pretty much independent of the potential used. And I tend to believe them because from some analysis that I've done and Federico did independently, it seems that the models of quintessence, we have five depends either logarithmic in the scale factor or depends with the power of the scale factor. Okay. So it really doesn't seem that the evolution depends on the model you use. And maybe what's happening is that the gauge-shifting function is different from linear, which is the flat in the same end, the evolution of that graph. So there are several examples. There are models where there could be oscillations in that graph over alpha. And here in particular, if Q is 17, then the experimental constraints are satisfied even if the coupling is close to 1. I don't know, I think my view was looking at this. Now, we have two parameters now to estimate, not just one. And I think it's possible to estimate these two from the consistency relations that I showed you earlier. This is work that is in progress. So, the message I want to leave is that in principle it's possible to reconstruct the additional state by energies if there is actually a variation in alpha and mu. In particular, it's possible to obtain the sign of W prime. And this is interesting because in a lot of models, they are freezing quintessence models and Tauri quintessence, which means that the equation state is coming closer to minus 1 or is minus 1 and goes up as the redshift decreases. The reconstruction has some tricky points if there are oscillations in the field. And the reconstruction is possible through a very high redshifts as far as you can find quasars, which is much larger than the reconstructions you can do using supernova limited by the 1.7. And you can do this in ground based telescopes or in space. This will be cheaper. But it would be really nice to look at other models of quintessence and see if reconstruction is also possible for those models and discriminate between those.
Is it in your models more likely that the sign of alpha change and mu change is negative or positive?
In my models, I mean, in this construction, I fixed it.
Yeah, but if you would leave that free, is it more likely the one or the other, or is it just to make some combination of constant and you get a sign?
We don't know.
It's a pretty choice.
It's fixing
that's what I
the model to so the free.
It's not like Bekenstein model where it's not, right, where the certain sign follows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the answer. If you have oscillation recently, how close to W equals minus 1 can you get?
Well, if there are many oscillations, then it will be very, very close to minus 1. Right? The oscillations are done.
So the length is just a constant?
Yeah, it could be maybe about as much as a constant. But again, if there's a variation in alpha, then you might suspect that actually it's not cosmological constant. It's
my suggestion would be again to look at a minimalistic model, right, where only two parameters are, for example, like the constant part of the energy and the linear part, right? Possibly give a benchmark kind of point for alpha dot over alpha for ground based or come up with template profile as a function of set for future type decision sessions would be less. So be nice. Very straightforward.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions? So in principle, we all move to the room of staff and all further talks, all the fields will be in the room of staff.
I can choose a seat.